It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. Downtown Milwaukee looks a lot different today than it did 20 years ago. While new buildings like Fiserv Forum and Northwestern Mutual Tower have added to the landscape, the restoration of neighborhoods like the historic Third Ward have also played a large part in the change. We talk with designer Jeremy Shamowitz of Flux Designs, a full-service design company that has fingerprints on some of Milwaukee's most iconic destinations. Have you recently visited Milwaukee's neighborhoods like the historic Third Ward, River West, or Bayview? Did you notice anything new? Do you remember the downtown Milwaukee of 20 years ago? Let us know at 800-642-1234. Jeremy, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you very much, Chip.
When you started your career, what did downtown Milwaukee look like?
I guess it would be pretty slow moving, pretty quiet at night. Although I love the city, it just didn't have the nightlife experience I thought I was told before I came to Milwaukee. For the most part, at least. Oh. Hello?
How does that differ from the Milwaukee of today?
Well, from the Milwaukee today, at least it's harder to find parking in the entire Third Ward area. Although they have lots of opportunities and parking structures, it's a boom and hustle. It's pretty fantastic.
Tell us a little bit about your design philosophy.
Well, a lot of my design philosophy, I think, started in college at the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, which is also located in the historic Third Ward. A lot of it came from materials and process, the study of materials, and then really different ways you could use them and engage it in different design applications.
How does designing with a particular atmosphere in mind impact the future of that space?
Well, that's the best part. So with every space that you're kind of renovating, getting engaged to, with every client that's different, really does present itself with a different opportunity of what you want to go ahead and pursue. Especially with design changes constantly happening and trends being set or changed, it still opens the doors for tons of different things to do.
Flux Designs began with an idea you and fellow Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design classmates had. Tell us that story.
So basically, in the early 90s, we were renovating a space down there while we were still in school. And while walking around the neighborhood at night heading home, we realized that a lot of the Third Ward was actually boarded up, closed down, or empty buildings. And that kind of sparked this concept of, wouldn't it be really cool if we could take one of those spaces, renovate it into a place where we could live, sculpture, art studio, design center, and then basically from the back of the house do all the build-up, from the front have a gallery, and literally staring at a building, that's exactly where the idea came from, and lo and behold, 2 years later, it's exactly how we started. So it's pretty cool.
So one of your early initiatives was gallery nights. What were gallery nights and what do they provide the community?
So within the first years that I was down in the Third Ward going to art school there, gallery night was really exciting because it was something I hadn't experienced before. And really what ended up happening was I'd go through these galleries, you'd look at these great pieces of work, but it was more of a tone of classical music, a little sippy cup of wine, engaging the arts. Well, we came across an opportunity for basically mostly an abandoned space, or unusable space, signed a lease for it, renovated the space, and created what we call today Gallery 326, which was basically the showroom for Flux Design. And what we did is we got together with a lot of our college roommates. We put all the work on the wall, went around the entire neighborhood, low-tech style, and sidewalk chalked the neighborhood, inviting people into the doors, and immersed ourselves into the community of art. And really, what we did a little bit differently there was throw on some happier pumping music, have some beer, make a huge social event out of it, and then engage people differently in how to approach art.
Jeremy Shamowitz is the co-founder and owner of Flux Design, a full-service design company that has contributed to some of Milwaukee's most iconic destinations. Jeremy, talk to us about some of the most iconic places you've designed.
Iconic, I think, in some areas would definitely be like places like the Water Street Breweries around the Grafton, Delafield, Milwaukee, Oak Creek locations because they're beautiful buildings and exciting environments. But then there's also places like the AJ Bombers that are floating around, and then, of course, Smoke Shack, which is down in the Third Ward, which is unique because it's a little one-story building in between two six-story buildings, so it feels a little misplaced. But things like that definitely stick out with people's experiences when they go to embrace them or enjoy them. And then you have things like the Vagabond, which is downtown, where we actually put two full-size Airstream trailers right inside the facility, and those act as the bar inside the space. So iconic-wise, those are pretty memorable spots and experiences.
And each one of these is unique. What materials did you use to create these one-of-kind spaces? You mentioned the Airstream trailers. What else?
So, you know, that really goes back to the study of this one that I truly am passionate about, which is really study the materials, use the process. Things like the smoke shack, actually we're able to take down a friend of ours' childhood barn, reassemble the barn into the smoke shack itself, and repurposing as many materials as possible. We do this on tons of projects all over the city. We're collecting old beams, old timbers, old parts and pieces, and then we go ahead and reform them into something else. You know, for example, a couple of years ago, we basically took down or disassembled an old military Quonset hut building style and repurposed that into three or four different projects throughout the city. So I'm constantly collecting, refurbishing, and reusing things and, you know, placing them back into great opportunities, whether it's commercial or residential. It really does pay out quite fun and interesting.
Let's take a phone call. Mary is with us from Viroqua. Mary, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good morning.
This past summer, we had a wedding that we were invited to in the 3rd District. And my husband and I had not visited in that area or seen the revitalization. And we stayed in a hotel that at one time was a factory, and it was called the Button Factory. But they didn't make buttons, but the whole history is there. And what we found unique is they basically gutted this old factory and turned it into this beautiful, modern hotel. And then we were within walking distance of the wedding venue, and I believe it was at the Black Swan, which is another factory that was gutted, and it's on the river walk. And beautiful timbers inside that building and windows and every detail of architecture is just outstanding. We had a wonderful, wonderful time and so thankful that our friends invited us to their sons and future and their daughter the wedding.
Okay, Mary, thanks. Jeremy, what about Mary's experience?
Well, that's exactly it. These buildings down in these neighborhoods are really, truly gorgeous with the age, the timbers. You can't build anything like it today. I've had the honor of working on many of these projects, the things she just described in these places. It really does engage and captivate. And that's really, and a lot of it, what it's about. You know, when you get down to some of these buildings, you see them from the outside. You walk in and you truly see the beauty of the natural material forms, which, again, isn't, it's just real. It's just how it was, which is really fantastic. These buildings are being repurposed like that. So I love being a part of doing those things. How is such a small world? I was born in Viroqua. So that's pretty cool.
What do you hope for Milwaukee in the future?
To keep on doing exactly what it has been doing. With the great development that's been happening in all these neighborhoods, people really reinvesting back into the city in the downtown area, I can't be more than tickled about these little areas and neighborhoods that have been popping up and changing, all the changes of style, especially this one with the eateries that have been changing so much. It brings people out in different locations. You really have, you know, from 20 years ago where people would say, well, there's nothing to do downtown. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? To now it's, where do you want to go tonight? Because there's so many options and variables. And a lot of times it's hopping between places. It's do an appetizer here, get a refreshment there, do dinner here, maybe dessert at this place. You really can call the evening complete after you've hit 4 or 5 locations and then simply Uber on home. So it's quite nice.
Jeremy, really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Jeremy Shamravich is the co-founder and owner of Flux Design, a full-service design company that has contributed to some of Milwaukee's most iconic destinations. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson.
Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. There's new research on... Hey, try that again. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Downtown Milwaukee looks a lot different today than it did 20 years ago. While new buildings like Pfizer Forum and the Northwestern Mutual Tower have added to the landscape, the restoration of neighborhoods like the historic Third Ward have also played a large part in the change. We're going to have a talk with designer Jeremy Shamrowitz of Flux Designs, a company that has its fingerprints on some of Milwaukee's most iconic destinations. Jeremy, welcome to the Morning Show.
And good morning, John.
There you are.
Hey, I'm okay. Sorry. I just woke up, but it's a good place to be.
Well, maybe I need to wake up.
No, it's me.
So when you started your career, what did downtown Milwaukee look like?
Downtown Milwaukee kind of looked like an average city like. Out of It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay, so what does that mean precisely? It just looked old or used up or what?
Well, it was. It would be the kind of a place where you might see Jimmy Stewart walk out and say that he was a banker, but he didn't know if it was going to be a great day or not. There'd be cars rolling around from the 1950s. There'd be people walking up and down the street, going about their business, dressed up semi-formally.
So how does it look different now?
Well, I think it looks like a modern, post-technological city where people of all ages are hanging out. It's a rather diverse place and a great place to go to hear music, to see entertainment, and also for dining and to do commerce and to do business.
So talk a little bit about your design philosophy.
I should probably tell you that I'm here to talk about rustic roads, John. Milwaukee is a great place, but it is not the center of rustic roads in Wisconsin.
Okay, Gary, I was all right. Well, there's been a lot of confusion here this morning.
Okay, not a problem.
As long as you're here, the Rustic Roads program started in 1973. The state legislature created it. The idea was to preserve Wisconsin's scenic highways for the enjoyment of a whole bunch of people. How has that worked out? I mean, you've been all over the state. Tell us a little bit about the Rustic Roads.
Well, I think it's worked out beautifully, John. I think that the whole concern was when they decided to start the program was that, you know, the increasing suburbanization and commercialization of cities and the growth of cities and the growth of Wisconsin in general had kind of resulted in a lot of these places that we think of as being beautiful, rural, wild areas were disappearing as roads are being paved and things are being improved, obviously. But we didn't want to lose all of the character that kind of gives Wisconsin such a special flavor all around the state, from north to south and, from the hill country up to the lake country. And as you say, 1973, some folks in the legislature came up with the idea of let's have some pieces of this place saved and not developed. And, with the consent of the people that live there and the local authorities, you know, keep these places so that as you're driving around the state on your superhighway, you might have a opportunity to just jog off for 5 or 10 or 15 miles and kind of get a feeling for what life was like and what life really, you know, can be in this state where, you know, we have such beautiful vistas around every turn and we have a great place to come and enjoy just a drive at a reasonable pace. The speed limit on rustic roads is 45 miles per hour or less, so you really have to intentionally kind of slow down from the fast pace of freeways to really getting to a place where you're looking at them.
Gary, I'm going to put you on hold for a minute because we need to make a little bit of a shift here. And well, hang on just one second. Okay. Well, no, you know what? We're going to keep on with this conversation, I guess. There's been a lot of technical issues here this morning. So how many rustic roads are there in Wisconsin?
120 at current count, John. And they're increasing because people who live on really particularly nice little sections of undeveloped road have the ability to petition to have their section of road declared a rustic road. And they have some qualities that they have to have, which are, you know, especially good scenic views on the road. They're not terribly developed. Some, in fact, are gravel. There might even be one or two out there that are still sort of gravel and dirt. But most of them are paved. They tend to vary in length from about 2 to 37 miles.
Paved. They tend to vary in length from about 2 to 37 miles.
Paved.
They tend to vary in length from about 2 to 37 miles.
Paved.
Okay, and they, you know, they're really extremely beautiful for the most part, and well worth taking a little jog to get off and see. And as we said, you know, they're meant to preserve Wisconsin as people knew it, you know, back in the days before it was really developed.
The state keeps a detailed map of where these roads are. How can we get to that?
Yeah, the state actually has been doing this, well, since 1973. They first published a list, and then they had a brochure. And what has just come out, within the last month or so, is a brand new book that they have. It's called, surprisingly, Wisconsin Rustic Roads, published by the Department of Transportation. And it's available free, John, for anyone who calls the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. The phone number is easy to remember. It's 1-800-432-TRIP. 1-800-432-TRIP, and ask for the Rustic Roads book. The other good thing is once you get that number, they also have a lot of other great publications over there that will help you to find attractions throughout the state, campgrounds, golfing, and things like that. But you can do that, or you can go online to travelwisconsin.com and look for publications, and they will be glad to send you no charge. It's absolutely free. The Rustic Roads book. It's 98 pages long, all color, and the photos in it, a good thing about it, the photos in it are the result of a photo contest they held about a year or two ago. So almost all of the photos in the book were taken by people who've been out there enjoying the rustic roads. And there's some beautiful stuff, everything from butterflies to ponds to lighthouses. And I think, you know, for the no money at all, for the cost of a phone call, you're going to wind up with a book that, if they were selling it, would be a $14.95 book on the bookstand.
And you can download it from their website as well. Gary Knowles is the president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association, author of Gary's Getaways, feature for the Journal Topics, Journal and Topics newspapers. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. I'm John Munson. This is the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Here we go. Well, live radio is a challenge. We're talking about Wisconsin's rustic roads. We're traveling some of the most scenic byways you may have never traveled in Wisconsin with travel writer Gary Knowles. I want to ask you, the listener, what rustic roads do you enjoy in your community? Where in the state do you like to go for a fall drive? And which part of the state is your favorite to visit during the fall? And why is that? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Gary Knowles is the president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association and also the author of Gary's Getaways feature for the Journal and Topics newspapers. Gary, what does it take for a road to be designated a rustic road?
The designation comes when people along the road decide that people that own the property along the road decide they'd like to maintain the kind of rural special character of that part of the highway, and they have a petition process where the people along the road and others who are concerned can sign the petition, and then it goes to Rustic Roads Board. It goes through the local transportation authorities in the municipality where the road is located. And eventually, if they all kind of agree, they send out an emissary. They send out a person to go check the road from the Rustic Roads Board to make sure that it kind of meets the qualifications of having kind of a unique agricultural look, or it has superb natural vegetation that might be unusual that you don't see elsewhere. It probably also has abundant wildlife, and it doesn't have real big paved shoulders on the road. Usually they're usually relatively narrow and two-lane and beautiful to drive. But they go out, and then if the board approves and everybody is in agreement, then the road actually gets the designation Rustic Road. There's a special sign that gets put up on either end, and it also gets a number. They've been numbered in the order that they were created, and as we said, there's 120 of them now. So the next one up, wherever that will be road number 121.
So let's hit the road, so to speak, and turn our attention first to the northern parts of the state. A lot of northern counties, well, trees are at or near peak color if there are any leaves left after the big winds we had the last few days. Suggest a rustic road for us in northern Wisconsin.
Well, there's a lot of great roads up there, and I think that up in the Ashland Bayfield County area, there's some great roads up there. I kind of like number 100, and it has a lot of the great natural vegetation that you see up in that part of the state. In summer, it's known for having all the lakes and wildflowers up there. It kind of runs from, this one runs pretty much from Mercer on up to the Wisconsin-Michigan border. It kind of follows highways H and G, and goes past Owl Lake and Virgin Lake, Clear Lake, Spider Lake, and really runs through some of that area where you're quite likely to see wildlife up there. I know when I was up in that area not too long ago, there was talk of some folks that had spotted a few bear that were wandering through the area. Wolves are not uncommon, and certainly white-tailed deer are almost everywhere. So it really has that flavor of the Northwoods that you want to have when you get up there.
What about Door County?
Door County is great. Door County has lots of neat ones, and it really has one of the longest rustic roads in the state is in Door County. Now, I've got to qualify that by mentioning that one is number 119, and it's on Washington Island. So you have to take a ferry to get out there. But it's really neat, and I know you've been to Washington Island. I know a lot of people have not, because you have to catch the ferry to get out there. But if you go out there, it kind of encircles the whole island, and it really gives you a great flavor of what it's like to be out on an island out in the Great Lakes, and it's really neat. You know, and of course, if you get up there to Washington Island, you'll want to stop at places like the Nelson Hall, where you can become a member of the Bitters Club. And the Bitters Club, of course, is for people who enjoy the taste of bitters, and you can stop in and do that. But there's also a lot of neat beaches along the way. There are fun things to do on the island. There's fishing, there's swimming, and definitely well worth checking it out. Number 119, and it's 27 miles long, and it's number 119 in the book on page 95.
Let's talk a little bit about western Wisconsin. We'll scoot across the state now. What rustic roads do you recommend over there?
Well, I would head for Polk County. The folks up in Polk County have really taken this to heart, and I think they have like six or seven of them in that part of the state. And there's, you know, the whole western part of the state has a different kind of a geology that shaped it, as opposed to the lake area or down in southwest Wisconsin. But it's really pretty up in that area. Big rolling hills, wonderful deciduous trees up there. This is a great time of the year to go up in that area and check out the Polk County, the St. Croix River area. And get a look at some of the places up there. Rustic Road number 100 is over in Iron County, and that one is also another really neat one. But I would suggest number 103, which it runs only 2.8 miles, but it goes along the St. Croix River, and you can go up there, and it starts at Somerset Landing, which is a river access point in the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway area. And there's a snowmobile route that goes through there. So if you go through in winter, you can actually see part of the road in winter. And there's a bike route that goes along 103 as well. But it's really kind of a really neat one to check out.
So let's not forget about non-rustic roads. Right. What's the drive you can suggest for those visiting the western part of the state?
Well, certainly the western part of the state, the big road over there that everybody ought to do. I mean, it's not a rustic road because it's so popular in many ways. The Great River Road, which follows the Mississippi River and goes all the way along over there from down and starts down in the Prairie du Chien area, actually a little south of there, and goes all the way up through La Crosse, and from La Crosse goes on up to St. Paul. But the Great River Road has got that whole Mississippi River ambiance, and you go through a lot of those beautiful little small towns over there that all have antique stores and great places to dine, and if you're lucky you can get a catfish dinner over in that area. But it's really a great place to check out the whole feeling of the Mississippi River area, and this time of the year it's especially fun. And the neat thing about it is, for some reason, it seems like the trees along the southern part of the Great River Road, say from La Crosse on south, they turn a little bit later than the ones up in northern Wisconsin. So I just saw a report from Wisconsin Tourism that said that the leaves up there, as you said a few minutes ago, were at peak before a lot of them got blown off. But there's still another week or two to go in southwest Wisconsin, and it's kind of the way the leaves have been turning for years, is that area tends to be a little bit later. So if you want to go out and do a great fall drive and see a lot of leaves, I would definitely consider doing the Great River Road from La Crosse on south down to Ferryville, and then down to Prairie du Chien, and actually head on down from there toward Dubuque, Iowa, and it's a beautiful drive.
So let me just say this, that Gary Knowles is the president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association and author of Gary's Getaways, feature for the Journal and Topics newspapers. And we want to hear from you about which rustic road or rustic roads in the state are your favorites. As the leaves change, where are you going for a nice fall drive? Do you have a favorite part of the state during the fall season, whether it's a rustic road or not? Let us know what that is and why you really like it so much. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can also send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org, and you can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @WPRMornings, 800-642-1234. We're going to continue our conversation with travel writer Gary Knowles and with you. We've got some calls coming in, and we'll take those in just a little bit. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Fall, a great time to travel around the state of Wisconsin, and Wisconsin has miles and miles and miles of rustic roads. These are places you can go and see things that, well, are a little off the beaten path. And we're talking about rustic roads with Gary Knowles, the president of Midwest Travel Journalists Association and the author of the Gary's Getaways feature for the Journal and Topics newspaper. And Gary, we've talked about western Wisconsin, we've talked about northern Wisconsin. Let's talk about central Wisconsin, and where should we go if we travel there?
Well, you know, we were talking about a lot of the rustic roads, but also some that are rustic but are not yet officially designated. And so I would suggest that if you get into central Wisconsin, some of the roads over near Iola and over in that part of the state are really simply beautiful. And you know, you can take the roads that go through the hill country over there, and they just have that feeling of, you get these big vistas of agricultural views, and then occasionally it'll duck through a wood lot and do some of those things. So I would definitely head over that way. Stevens Point is a good place to start, and you can head out from there go on over to Adams County, get to Adams County, and try Rustic Road number 50 if you get there. And it's really one of those areas where, you know, you're going to see a flatter land. It's not quite as hilly. It's more gentle rolling area. But over like in Adams County, number 50 is only 4.6 miles long. It's not paved. So if you've got that brand new Porsche or your brand new whatever, you may want to be a little careful. You don't want gravel kicked up on it. And it is a neat little road, though. It's number 50. And the local people call it Cottonville Avenue. It's an old state road. It was laid out probably in the 1800s, they think. And the views along the road are really neat. There's like native lowland and upland trees, a lot of shrubbery and marshes. And they say it's a great place to go see wild birds, migratory birds, deer, and a lot of grouse as well. So I would check that out, number 50. Over in the Adams County area.
Well, and that part of Wisconsin, a lot of evidence of glacial activity too. So if you're a roadside geologist, I think that would also be a pretty good drive to make. So we don't want to leave southern Wisconsin out. Let's start in southwestern Wisconsin. Rustic roads, maybe over in the Coulees.
Yeah, there's some really good ones over in that area. You definitely want to kind of get down to probably Grant County. There's a couple in Grant County. Looking at number 99, it's one of the special ones, and it would be a good one to check out. It's over kind of runs down in the Potosi area, and it's only 3.4 miles long, but it's paved, so you don't have to be afraid to take your fancy car there. And it really is, it's neat. Of course, Potosi is over in that really neat, driftless area down along the Mississippi River, so it's got some of that Mississippi River territory views that you'll see over there. And also a good chance to check out the brewing history of Wisconsin down in Potosi, down at the Beer Museum down there. But it's down on River Lane Road, and it's a segment that borders the Mississippi River, and you'll get some great views of the hills and bluffs and rolling farmland over there. You know, and in southern Wisconsin, kind of southeast Wisconsin, if we can shift over there for a moment.
Oh, sure, go ahead. You're driving.
one of my favorites.
You get your you got my beat up Toyota Camry, so take it easy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good car to take down there. One of my favorites is Rustic Road number 29 over in the Lake Geneva area, and it has a name. It's called Snake Road, and of course, with a name like Snake Road, you know what the road is going to be. It's going to be twisty and turny and going over the hills down around the lakes down there. It's a beautiful little loop. Runs right off of Highway 59 in Lake Geneva, and it has all that country beauty. Again, it's not a really long one. It's only 2.7 miles long. My suggestion is first drive it in one direction and then turn around and drive it back the other way, because if you're a driver who loves turns and great views and not having to just go in a straight line for too long, Snake Road, number 29, over in Lake Geneva is just a beautiful one to try. So I would suggest doing that one.
So what, very quickly, we're almost out of time for this segment now. Very quickly, what rustic road haven't we talked about yet that people really need to try out?
I would say head up to Manitowoc and Two Rivers, up to that area. There's a road up there that runs from, actually from Two Rivers, it runs up to Point Beach State Park and a little bit past it. It's Rustic Road number 16, and it is just a fabulous drive. It'll take you in kind of offshore Michigan driving through some really beautiful pine woods up there. If you go in summer or if it's got a nice day in fall, roll the windows down. You can smell the pines as you drive through. And then when you get up to the Point Beach State Forest, by all means, turn in and go down and see one of the most beautiful beaches on Lake Michigan. It's about a 6-7 mile beach at Point Beach State Park, white sand, and it's just beautiful. Lake Michigan out there any time of the year, even if in stormy days, is really an interesting place to be and go look at the lake. So I would say Rustic Road number 16 over there in Manitowoc County.
Gary, we got to let you go. Thanks a lot for jumping in here today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Good to talk to you.
Gary Knowles is president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association and author of the Gary's Getaways feature for Journal and Topics newspapers and a consultant to travel businesses and the author of the Great Wisconsin Touring Book, 30 Spectacular Auto Tours. It's now time for Wisconsin Life. Here is producer Maureen McCollum.
Days are shorter, sweaters are thicker, and leaves are lusher. We are in the heart of fall. For some people, this is the ideal time of the year. And for others, like writer Chris Hardy, autumn is a bit more complicated.
I stopped the other day on a country road for a moment or two, a brief respite at the end of another busy day. Every day I drive by that point of rest. It's a barn no longer in use next to an abandoned farmhouse. The barn's not that old. The rounded roof appears to be in good shape, and the walls still have their faded red paint. Next to it is a small silo. There are many of these scenes dotting the countryside, buildings on smaller family farms no longer needed, where the economics of farming has ended their usefulness. They stand, silent and empty, eventually succumbing to the forces of nature. But on this late afternoon, I was beckoned to stop. The hillside behind the barn was a canvas of red, orange, yellow, brown, and green, illuminated by the sun and framed by a bright blue sky. The setting sun cast a shadow on the floor of the valley, and in a few minutes, the scene would be lost. I pulled off the road to capture this moment of pure autumn in Wisconsin. The timing may change slightly each year depending on the weather, but the palette of Mother Nature comes just the same. Daylight hours diminish, photosynthesis in trees slows and stops. Deciduous leaves, dominated by green chlorophyll the rest of the year, show yellow, orange, and brown from carotenoid pigments and the reds from anthocyanins. The Wisconsin Department of Tourism tracks the changing colors across the state in its weekly color report. Leaf peepers travel around the state to take in an art show unrivaled by any museum. The show builds, climaxes, and then fades away in a drab final scene as the browns of late fall turn into winter. It's also harvest time. Farmers hope for an Indian summer, marked by sunny, dry, and warm days after a killing frost. It extends the small window to bring in the crops. On our farm, the corn harvest is underway. The beauty of fall is tinged with some sadness. The shortened days and cooler temperatures are our annual reminder that we're growing older. Work undone, words unsaid, regrets remembered. The English poet John Keats captured the melancholy of fall in his poem To Autumn, published in 1820. The last stanza says, "Where are the songs of spring? Aye, where are they? Think not of them. Thou hast thy music too. while barred clouds bloom the soft dying day and touch the stubble plains with rosy hue. Then in a wayful choir the small gnats mourn among the river sallows borne aloft or sinking as the light wind lives or dies. And full-grown lambs loud bleat from hilly bourn. Hedge crickets sing, and now with treble soft, the redbreast whistles from a garden croft, and gathering swallows twitter in the skies. It was one of Keats' last works, inspired by a walk he took near Winchester in September 1819. He died less than a year after the poem was published. Life is often as tenuous as the withering stem that holds a leaf to a branch. We know not if we're in the autumn of our lives or whether spring will come. She teases us, autumn does, with her fleeting beauty. Take my hand, she whispers through the rustling leaves. So we do, and we dance amidst the blazing landscape, leaving our cares and worries behind, if only for a while. Inhale autumn's beauty. Be still. Thank your maker. Enjoy the dance.
Chris Hardy is a writer based in Jackson County. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Thank you, Maureen. Coming up next on the Ideas Network, we talk about downtown Milwaukee's transformation. That's all ahead on The Morning Show.